Today's daf is Brachos Daf Tes Zayin, and we are 19 lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis Karav Aloy Dikdek Ba'isi Yosef. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Avisa. So the Mishnah on Daf Tes Vav Amid Aleph brought a few random halachos related to Kriyat Shema. The first, somebody said Kriyat Shema, but he didn't hear the words, meaning he said it under his breath. So it was Machloikis, Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. We saw in the Gemara, it's really a Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether B'dieva, this person is Yotze, or this person is not Yotze. And then we had an intense plot Gemara, where the Gemara discussed whether, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that B'dieva, you're Yotze, does that mean that even the Katchila it's okay? Or maybe even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the Katchila it's not going to be okay. The second halacha that the Mishnah was discussed was Karav Aloy Dikdek Ba'isi Yosef. What happens if somebody said Kriyat Shema, but he wasn't Medakdek Ba'isi Yosef? He didn't pronounce each word carefully. There too, it's a machloikis between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, but there it's in the reverse. Rabbi Yosi on my Yatza, Rabbi Yosi is Mekel, he says Yotze, and Rabbi Yehuda on my Yatza, Rabbi Yehuda says over there you're not going to be Yotze. So in the first machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda's Mekel and Rabbi Yosi's Machmer. In the second machloikis, Rabbi Yosi's Mekel and Rabbi Yehuda's Machmer. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Tavi, Amr Rav Yoshio, Halacha Kedivrei Shneim Lahakil. The Halach is in both cases Lakula, like Rabbi Yehuda in the first machloikis, and like Rabbi Yosi in the second machloikis. Meaning in both cases, we go Lakula. Even though Kriyat Shema is midairaisa, so perhaps you would think that in a sugya that's midairaisa, you should go lechumra halacha kedivrei shneim lahakav. Amar Rav Tavi, Amar Rav Yoshia. So we mentioned something that Rav Tavi said in the name of Rav Yoshia. That's negeya the sugyas that we're learning. Hilchas Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara mentions now something else that Rav Tavi said over the name of Rav Yoshia. This is a dvar agadah. Ma'id dechsev. What's pshat in the pasuk in Mishle that says shalosh heino loisis bana? There are three things that are never satisfied. I'm skipping. The Gemara skips. Sha'ol. The graves are never satisfied, meaning they always want more people to die. Va'oitze racham, oitze makam of an isha is never satisfied from tashmish. And eretz loisava mayim. And the land, the ground, the earth, this is never satisfied either, meaning it always wants water. Said Rav Tavi in the name of Rav Oshio, v'chima'in yin sho'el oitze racham. The pasuk is putting the sha'oil next to the oitze racham as if there's some sort of similarity between a grave and oitze makam. Aloloi b'lucham ma'rechem, machnes u'moitze, just like the rechem is machnes and it's moitzi. It's machnes the zera of the man, and it's moitzi of lad. Afsha oil, machnes or moitzi. So too, a grave is machnes. Obviously, when a person dies, he's buried in the earth, in the grave. So the grave is machnes, but the grave will one day also be moitzi. When is that? By Tchias HaMesim, says the Gemara, V'alu idvarim kal v'chaymer. So Rav Yoshe continued and he made a kal v'chaymer. He said, U'man rechem shemachnis amoy, b'chashoy moitzi mimeno b'koyloi koylois, when the rechem is machnes, meaning, b'shas tashmish, it's quiet. Still, when the rechem is moitzi, when a child is born, the child cries and there's koyloi koylois, so sha'ol shemachnisim, the grave, where when it's machnes b'koylei koylois. The gravesite, there's always people crying and wailing. Einoy din shemaitzia mimeno b'koylei koylois. So when it's going to be moitzi, it's going to be moitzi b'koylei koylois as well. What's the koylei koylois? So Rashi says in Masechta Sanhedrin, that's what this Gemara is mentioned as well. It's the v'hoye b'yoy mahu yitoka b'shoifer gadol, that there's going to be a shoifer gadol b'shas tchias ha-mesem. Either way, says the Gemara, that everything that we just said, mikan. So the Gemara at the beginning of Parak Chelak brings all the different remazim that Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. There's no pasuk that says mefurish, there'll be Tchias HaMesim. But there's several references to it. This is one of them. Where do you see it? You see this pasuk. Shalosh heino loisis bana. It mentions sha'oil v'oitze rochem v'chima inyan sha'oil eitzel rochem. What does the sha'oil, what does the grave have to do with the rechem? To teach me, just like the rechem is machnes u'moitzi, so too the grave will be machnes u'moitzi. In other words, it's an idea of tchias ha-mesim. If that's the case, mikan tshuva, this is a good response. One of several responses, lo'oimrim, to the koifrim that say, ain't tchias ha-mesim in ha-toyra. Tani, Rabbi Yoshe, kamei de Rava. Rabbi Yoshe once said over, in the presence of Rava, as follows. It says, uchsavtam. So you say in the parish of Kriyashma, Uchsavtom al mezuzah is Pesach v'sharecha. So the word Uchsavtom teaches me, Hakol b'ksav afilu tzavois. In other words, he was referring to the mitzvah of mezuzah and the mitzvah of tefillin, which is, of course, me inyan le inyan ba'oysa inyan, to the mitzvah of Kriyishma, because in the mezuzah you have the parish of Kriyishma, in tefillin you have the parish of Kriyishma. And the question was, the pasuk in the Torah that says you should write the parasha of Kriyishma in the tefillin, the pasuk that says you should write the parasha of Kriyishma in the mezuzah, is that pasuk too in the mezuzah and in the tefillin or not? The pasuk that says uchsavtam al mezuzah is beisachu v'sharecha, the pasuk that says ukshartam lo isayotcha, that pasuk itself, is that in the tefillin or is that not? So Rav Yoshia told Rava it is. You know, I know that because it says uchsavtam. And Uchsavtam teaches me Hakol Biksav Afilu Tzavos. Even the pasuk that commands us to put those parashas in the mezuzah and the tefillin respectively, those should be in the tefillin as well. And the drushes from the word Uchsavtam, Siva Tam, the Gemara in many places, Darshins, the suffix Tam that certain words have, in this case, it's a ksiva tama, it's a complete ksav, even those words should be included. So Rava told Rav Yoshi, who are you going according to? Meaning, why do you feel that we need a jirasha, uchsav tam, to teach me that the tzavois should be included in the parasha? As if to say, if it wouldn't say uchsav tam, you would think otherwise. Probably Rav Yehuda here. You're going according to Rav Yehuda. The Amar who said, Gabi soita, regarding the halachas of soita, alois koisev, tzavois, enoi koisev. The parsha of Soita was a parsha that was written on a klaf. In the event that there was a woman, there was a suffix, she was mezana, wasn't a mezana, based on the psukim and the prerequisites that are mentioned in parshas Nasa. So the Torah says her husband would bring her to the Beit HaMikdash. She would have to stand shar nikner in front of the kohen, and they would take water. They would be meichek this parsha. And somehow she would then drink the water. That would determine whether she was guilty or whether she was innocent. So the pasuk says that they would write certain alois haksuves batayra. They would write this on the klaf. They would be meichiket. And that's part of the parsha of the soita. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, regarding what was written in the parsha soita, alois koisev, tzavois eina koisev. They wouldn't write the tzavois. So where it says in the pasuk that this is what you're supposed to do, that pasuk in it of itself was not written. V'hasam hu t'chsiv v'kasav v'soil v'se'ela. Aval hacha t'chsiv v'chsavtam. Afil v'tzavayis nami. So Rav told Rav Yoshia. So probably what you're thinking is that over there, you don't write the tzavayis. So why here do you, write the tzavayis? You would need a drasha for it. Oh, so the drasha is v'chsavtam. Meaning Rav Yoshia told Rav, v'chsavtam, v'kshartam, those words should be written in the parasha. So Rava said, why do you need a drasha for that meaning? Sounds like without the tam, without that suffix, you would think otherwise. Or probably you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Who Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the parasha of Soita, you don't write the tzavos. Why not? Because there it doesn't say uchsav tam. There it just says v'kasav. Oh, so there it says v'kasav, it doesn't mean it. Here the Torah had to write uchsav tam, so you should think that you do need it. But Rava continued and said, otu taimi to Rabbi Yehuda mishum d'chsiv v'kasav. That's not pshat. Really, v'kasav itself would also mean that. And had it said v'kasav here in the parasha of Kriyishma, you would know that you write the tzavois in the tefillin and in the mezuzah as well. Why then does Rabbi Yehuda hold you don't write the tzavois in the parasha of Soitev? If v'kasav could mean that you write the tzavois as well, so why is Soitev any difference? He said, "Time to Rabbi Yehuda mishum dechsev alois alois sin tzavois loy." Because there it says clearly the kasav es alois. So being that it says v'kasav es alois, it sounds like you're only supposed to write the alois. You're not supposed to write the tzavois. The bottom line is, so he told Rav Yoshi, you don't need uchsav tam. You don't need a drasha to tell me that you have to write the tzavois in the tefillin and in the mezuzah without the uchsav tam. You would know it also. Why then is Soitev different? That's where you're coming from. Soitev is different because it says clearly the kasav es alois. Here it doesn't say v'kasav es alois. So therefore, here it's going to be different. But the Gemara says, no, Yitzchak, he told him, you still need to accept him. You know why? Because Selkut, I mean, I would have thought, Nelok, Steve, Steve, me, Hassam, and my Hassam, always in Tzavoy Sloy, Afachanami Tzavoy Sloy, Kasav Rachman, Uchsavtam, Afilu Tzavoy. So we needed it, Lafu came into Rav Yehuda. Why? Because at the end of the day, for whatever the reason is, Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the parish of Soita, you didn't write the tzavos. So once in the parish of Soita, you don't write the tzavos, there would have been a havamina that maybe the same thing should be true here as well. Therefore, we needed uchsavtam to teach me that you write the tzavos. So the bottom line is that Rabbi Yoshia told Rava that it says uchsavtam, it says ukshartam. What's that tam coming to be? Marba? It's coming to be marba that those words itself should be included in the mezuzah. They should be included in the tefillin, why would you have thought otherwise? You would have thought otherwise because there's precedence otherwise. The precedence is Rabbi Yehuda Sheet in the parish of Soita, where there they wrote the alois, but the pasuk that says because of Esa alois, they didn't write. So maybe the pasuk that says you should write these parishes in the tefillin, in the mezuzah, maybe should not be included. Kamash Malan, that they're going to be included. Tony Rabbi Vadya Kameh Derava. So we mentioned that when a person says Kriyashma, he has to be medaktik boisi oisel. He has to make sure he pronounces each word carefully. So the Gemara is going to give some examples of this. Rabbi Vadya once told Rava, it says, V'limadetem oisem es b'neichem. And from V'limadetem, again, the ten, the tum, the tough, and the enderman, we learn shehei limudcha tum, that it should be complete, the words that you say. Sheyitein revach ben hadvokim, that you should make sure that you leave space in between words. Only Rava Basrei, Rava gave examples. He said, kigoyin al livavecha. You have to make sure it's two lamids. So there's a little space between al and livavecha, because otherwise, if you say it quickly, it's going to be al livavecha. The two lamids are going to somehow become one, and it's going to sound like one long word. Al livavchem. Ubechol levavchem, esev besadcha, vavadetem mehera, hakonof besil, veeschem me'eretz. There are other examples as well, laman tizkeru, etc., etc. So, Deli, if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Simon Samach Aleph, so there's Sifkotan after Sifkotan, the Mechaber is very, very mayrich, going through different examples of where you have to be careful when it comes to all these halachas. If somebody says Kriyashma and he's careful with every letter, Mitzanim and Loi Gehenna, you know what the reward's going to be? Even if he ends up in Gehenna, but it won't be that hot. Mitzan and Eloi. They'll cool off Gehenim for him. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Befareis Shakai Melochim Ba Tashleik Bitzalma. Now, Pashup Shad in this Pasuk has nothing to do with saying Kriyashma and nothing to do with chilling Gehenim a little bit. But rather, the Gemara says as follows. When it says Befareis Al Tikri Befareis Ela Befareish, meaning someone that's Mefareish, he says the words clearly. So what did he say clearly? Shakai He Melochim. These are the Shakai is that Kodesh Baruch Hu Melochim Kabbalas O Malcha Shemayim. So if someone's Mekabel Melochim O Malcha Shemayim Beforesh, if he does it clearly, then what? What's the end of the pasuk? Tashlig Bitzalmoin. Al Tikri Bitzalmoin El Bitzalmoves. The gates are Moves. That's Gehenim. Tashlig means it's gonna snow. So it's going to be cool. The point is, if someone is Beforesh, Shakai Malachim, not Beforesh. Beforesh, he's Mekabel Ol Malcha Shemayim very, very clearly. Tashlik Betzalmoin, even if he's in Gehenim, but it's going to be cold in Gehenim for him. Ayholim L'necholim. The Pasuk says, and this is in Parshas Bala, Ki necholim nitoyu, ki ganois alei nahar, ki aholim nata Hashem, ki arozen alei mayim. So there's a smichos between Ayholim, those are tents, and necholim are rivers. Chesiv ki necholim nitoyu, ganois alei nahar, b'gumu. What's the connection, says the Gemara, Lama Nismachu, between these two things. Just like a nachal makes a person from Tameh, Tahar, Afay, Holim, so too the oil of Yaki Vish Tom Yoshev Aholim. The oil of Torah is Malin Esa Adam, Mikav Choyva Likav Schos. Pashup Shat, what the Gemara is saying is, it's just like a river. If someone's Tomeh and he toivels, he becomes Tahar. So a person can be Toivel B'mei Hadas. If a person learns Torah, in addition to the Torah protecting him, Gavriel, Michal, Rifal, Uriel, Isis Gemara, in addition to all the skulois that a person gets from learning Torah, but at the same time, there's also an idea that Torah is like a nachal. A nachal is maila ha'adam mitumel ta'ira, af oyholim mailin es ha'adam mikav choyva lekav schos. I once heard from Ramosha Meyer Letterman. He said that the Gemara says that Torah is mitaher. The problem is, the Gemara also says that you have to be Tahar in order to learn Torah. If somebody learns Torah and he's not Tahar, Torah is a Sama de Musa. So not every person can learn Torah. Ula Rasha Ama Alekim, Malucha Lesapra Chuki. So how does that work? It's a catch-22. Torah is Metar. So if somebody's Tomei, what should he do? Ki necholim nitayu, ki ganis alinar, ka holim nata. Ma necholim mailin esa adam, mi tomel etayra, afay holim mailin esa adam, mi kav choyva lekav schos. So if a person wakes up in the morning, he finds himself in a bad place, what should he do? He should learn Torah. But the Pasuk says, Ularasha Amar Alikim, Malucha Lesapar Chuki. So he explained that with a marshal. He said there was a person that had a very expensive bottle of wine. And he had a glass, but the glass was dirty. And he didn't want to pour a very, very expensive bottle of wine into this very, very dirty glass. He didn't know what to do. So he saw Pikeach. He said, what should I do? He said, I'll give you a very good idea. Take a little bit of wine, just a little bit.
Vishason, meaning wash off the cup of wine. Pour that wine out. Now you'll have a clean glass. Now you can pour yourself a nice glass of wine. So he said, that's how it works. In order for a person to learn Torah, he has to be Tahar. Torah is the Metaher. So how does that work? First, you clean yourself with a little bit of Torah. You learn Torah. Kinecholim, that's Mailinus Adam, Mitumala Tahira. Afay Holim is Mailinus Adam, Mikav Chayvel, Kav Schos. Now that you're Tahar, your Nesham is Tahar, you're not Rosh Amalekim, Malachal, the Saprachuki. Now you can learn Torah like a match. Hakar Lamafreya, La Yatzos. Then the Mishnah said if someone reads Kriyishma Lamafreya, then he's not going to be Yotze. And then finally, Kara. Vitah, if a person saying Kriyishma, he has no idea where he's holding, Yachsel, Makom Shatah, he should go back to the place that he knows for sure he was up to. The Gemara will explain. Rabbi Amir, Rabbi Asi, Habakon, Katrin, Le, Gnadal, Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Amir, Rabbi Asi, we're preparing, Rashi says, the chuppah, literally, the physical chuppah for the wedding of Rabbi Elazar. Amaluhu. So Rabbi Elazar told Rabbi Abi Arasi, listen, you're preparing my wedding. In the meantime, I'm going to go hishir. They were all Tamidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi were Tamidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Elazar told Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, let me go hear what the Rebbe is saying now, and I'll come back. I'll report to you. So he went into Beis Medrash, and he saw there was a Tana that was saying over halachos in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. And he said, as follows, if somebody's in the middle of saying Kriya Shema and he made a mistake, he skipped, he's not sure where he's holding. So what's the halacha? Yachsul Rosh. What does that mean? He explained. Benza Perek, if you're in the middle of a Perek, so you're in the middle of a Haftah, you made a mistake, but you don't know where in the middle of a Haftah you're up to. So he said, Yachsul Rosh, go back to the beginning of your Haftah. Be Perek Le Perek, if you're in between paragraphs, you just don't know if you're between Shema and Vahaya, Vahaya Vayomer, Yachsul Le Perek Rishon, go back to Vahaya. Meaning, you always assume the worst case scenario. Bein ksiva l'ksiva. You know you're up to uchsavtam, but you can't remember if it's uchsavtam from the first parasha of Kriyishma or it's uchsavtam from the second parasha of Kriyishma. Yachsel ksiva rishayna. Again, assume the worst and go back to the ksiva rishayna. Abalei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan responded to this Tana and he told him, Leishanu elosh leipasach b'leman yirbu yomeichem. This halach is only true if you're not up to leman yirbu yomeichem. You're in the first parasha of Kriyishma, second parasha of Kriyishma. You're not sure where you're up to. You have absolutely no clue. So you follow the steps that we just mentioned. But if you're ready up to the third parasha of Kriyishma, you said the words, L'man Yirbu Yumechem Sarchei Nokat Fa'asi. So then we assume you probably finished. Machlokes Rishonim how to learn the Gemara. But the way Rashi learns is we assume that you've probably finished the third parasha of Kriyishma, because that's something that people are very familiar with. So it seems like people would get confused in the first parasha, second parasha. Also, there's a lot of words that are similar. Lashon Yachid, right? The first parasha of Kriyishma is Balashon Yachid, if you notice. The second parasha of Kriyishma is Balashon Rabbah. We'll get into this in Yetzir Shem. There's a famous kasha that Reb Chaim Volozhiner brings from the Vilna Gaon and Nef Shachayim. But there's a lot of similarities. So there, maybe it's easier to get confused. But once you get to the parasha of Tzitzis, then it flows. Then you can assume you already finished the parasha. Either way, so this is where Rabbi Elazar heard. So he went back to Rabbi Ami of Rabasi, who was still preparing his wedding, Asaba Amalu, and he told him what he heard. Amrulay, they told him, Ilu Leibanu Ela Lishmaya Davar Zed, Dayenu, had we come just to hear this, and we came to help you for your chasana, but this is even better. He says, this is such a gewaldige halacha that had we come just for this Dayenu. So before we start the Mishnah, really a new topic, just one ha'ara, and that is, the Gemara started off with a comment that Rav Tovi said in the name of Rabbi Yoshia. And that's a comment that's very relevant to the sugyas that we're learning. We're learning different halachas in Hilchas Kriyishma. The first halacha was, if someone said Kriyishma, he didn't hear what he said. Machloikis Rabbi Yudin Rabbi Yosi. The second halacha was, where somebody said Kriyishma, velo dikdek boisei yosei. He didn't pronounce each word carefully. Also machloikis Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda. In one place, Rabbi Yehuda is the meikel. In the second halacha, Rabbi Yosi is the meikel. And Rav Tovi said in the name of Rabbi Yoshia, halacha kedivrei shneim lahakil. The halacha in both cases is lekula. So the Gemara mentioned something that Rav Tovi said in the name of Rabbi Yosia. So the Gemara did what it's been doing throughout this Masechta. It mentioned another halacha that Rav Tovi said in the name of Rabbi Yosia. Completely unrelated, a drasha related to a pasuk in Sefer Mishlei, Periklamen, where the pasuk says there are three things that are never satisfied. Shalosh heina loisesbana. Sha'ol, that's the graves. Va'itzer rochem, oisei makam of an isha. And eretz loisavamayim. And the Rav Tovi said, the Rabbi Yosia was bothered. V'chima inyin sha'ol, leitzal rechem. What's this juxtaposition? The smichos somehow Shloim HaMelech beroiv chachmasai and Sefer Mishlei put the sha'ol next to the oitzer rachem. What do the two have to do with each other? See, he said a whole drasha. The rechem is machnas umaitzi. So too the sha'ol is machnas umaitzi. And mikan tshuva la'omrim ein tchias ha'mesim. When I tell you something that the Gemara discusses in great detail in the beginning of Perek Chelek. In Brisk, they say over that somebody asked the Beis HaLevi, he says, I don't understand. How did Chazal know to darshin Sha'ol and Oitzer Rachem? It says Sha'ol next to Oitzer Rachem. We never saw two ideas put together. I mean, the Pashup Shan and the Pasik makes sense. Shlomo HaMelech said, Shaloi Sheina Lois Hispana. He made a point. There are three things that are never satisfied. And he listed the three things. That's why they're together. It's because they have something in common. What they have in common is that they're never satisfied. He said, not just that. It says there are three things that are never satisfied. And the Gemara didn't even explain what the first and second have to do with the third. So for some reason, the Gemara emphasized v'chima inyan sha'ol eitzel oitzer rachem. Who says they have anything to do with each other other than what Shlomo HaMelech said? And if you feel that, no, there's something telling you that there's a drasha here, then why is the drasha only related to the first two things that Shlomo HaMelech mentioned? Why not the third thing? And the Beis HaLevi said something unbelievable. He said, because the Shlomo HaMelech mentioned three things. Sha'ol, the oitzer rachem, and eretz. He says, every single time in the Torah, where the Torah mentions a few things together, the Torah will do one of two things. Either there'll be a vav by each one, or there'll be a vav by the last one. So for example, Ruvain, v'Shimon, v'Levi, v'Yehuda. That's one way you can say it. Or you can say it the way it's mentioned in the beginning of Parashat Shmos. Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, v'Yehuda. Yisachar, Zvulin, u'Binyamin. He says, you know what the Pasuk wrote over here? It says, Sha'ol, v'Oitzer Rachem. And then it says Eretz. There's a vav in the middle. It should have said either Sha'ol v'Oitzer Rachem v'Eretz, or it should have said Sha'ol Oitzer Rachem v'Eretz. Why is the vav by the second one? Why not by the third? Or it should be by both. You don't find that anywhere. Said the Beis HaLevi, that's how Chazal knew that there's a drush over here. There must be something that the Sha'ol and the Oitzer Rachem have in common. Either way, this is what they say over in Bris. The postscript to the story is they say that the person that asked the question to the Beis HaLevi was a shtickle, a maskil, and he was a big bucky and dick-duck, and he was very bothered. He told the Beis HaLevi, he says, I don't understand. I pride myself. I have a PhD in dick-duck, and I couldn't figure this out. He says, you sit and you learn this the whole day. He says, how did you come to this? He says, I'm just like taken aback. What was your secret? So the Beis HaLevi told him that we say in Esh Eschayil, Sadin Asasa Vatimkar, Vachagor Nosna Laknani. She sells Sadin, and she gives away b'matana the Chagor, the Gartel. So he said, if somebody buys a suit. So there's certain things, there's ancillaries that are going to come along with it. You buy Sadin, you spent $1,000 on Sadin, you get the Chagar, we throw it in. But if somebody only wants the Chagar, if you walk into a store, I'd like to buy a Chagar, you're not going to get it for free. If you buy the Sadin, you buy the suit, okay, then maybe this is going to come along with it. But if you're coming out to buy a pair of socks, you're going to have to pay for the pair of socks. If all you want is a belt, you're going to have to pay for the belt. When you buy the Sadin, then the Chagar comes b'matana. But when all you buying is the chagar, then you have to pay for the chagar. So he said, I spend my whole day sad in asasa. I spend my day harving and learning. So b'matana, I get these things, sad here, the vav here, the vav there. This comes for free. This is the chagar. It's the chagar nasta l'knani. He said, this is all you're buying. This is all you're buying. He said, then already for you, this is something that you're going to have to pay for. Either way, zok the mishnah vayter ha'umnin, kairim b'roisha ilan, u'b'roisha nidbach. Very interesting halacha. So you have somebody that's working for somebody else. And he's working on top of a tree. Reish HaNidbach, Rashi says, that's a stone wall. And it came time to say Kriya Shema. So what's the halacha? Should he say Kriya Shema? Should he not say Kriya Shema? Should he come down? Says the Mishnah, an umin is allowed to say Kriya Shema. He has to say Kriya Shema. Not just that, he should do it exactly where he is. If he's Bereisha Elon, that's where he says it. If he's Bereisha Nidbak, then that's what he says it. Masha'in came betfilo, Masha'in Rashoin Lassus came betfilo, but as opposed to tefilo, that's something that you're already not allowed to do. A Pashup Shad is, the Gemara will talk about this a little bit, but Pashup Shad is because tefilo needs kavana.
Now, Kriyishma also needs Kavanah. But Kriyishma, only the first Pasuk needs Kavanah. So being that it's only the first Pasuk, you can be Mechavan one Pasuk, even Barosh HaIlan. But the Shtela, Shmaina Esrei, that's already not such an easy thing to do, Barosh HaIlan, so that's why Shmaina Esrei is going to be different. Another halacha. Chasan Patim Kriyishma Laila Rishayna. A Chasan's Patim from Kriyishma from the first night, V'ad Maitzoy Shabbos, until Maitzoy Shabbos, Im Layasa Maisa. Assuming that there was no Bir Rishayna. Meaning, once there's a Bir Rishayna, he's not Patim from Kriyishma anymore. If there was no Bir Rishayna, up until Matzai Shabbos, then he's going to be potter. Once Matzai Shabbos happens, even if he didn't do the Bir Rishayna, he's not potter from Kriyishma anymore. Maisik Rabbi Gamliel, the story with Rabbi Gamliel, Shanasa Yisha, he got married. Vikara Laila Rishayna, and he said Kriyishma, Amrulay Talmidav. So if Talmidav told him about the Tanu Rabbeinu, Shechasa potter mi Kriyishma, didn't you teach us that a chasin is potter from Kriyishma? So why are you saying Kriyishma? Amrulay, so he told him, Eni Shemei Olachem, Levatel Heimeni Malchus Shemai Rafilu Shachas. I'm not listening to you. You're trying to get me to not say Kriyishma? You're trying to get me to not be Makabal Ol Malchus Shemai Rafilu Shachas. I know I'm potter, but I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. Zok tigvar. Tana rabbanan. Ha'umnin. Koyrim b'roisha ilan. U b'roisha nidbach. So if someone works for somebody else, he's b'roisha ilan and he's b'roisha nidbach. It came z'man kriyishma. He has to say kriyishma. Not just that, he can say it exactly where it is. Mishnah also said, but he can't daven. However, umispalim b'roisha zayis u b'roisha eno. If he's on roisha te'eno. If he's on the top of an olive tree or on the top of a fig tree, theory can even shtella a shtella shmaina esrei. Why? So Rashi says because those trees have a lot of branches and it's not so dangerous to be up there. He's not going to be so afraid. So to daven shmaina esrei, that's okay as well. Ushar kol ilanos as it relates to other trees, yarden lamatu mispalon. Then if he wants to daven, he has to come down. Ubalabayis, what if you're self-employed? So you're not mishubit to somebody else. Benkach ubenkach yarden lamatu mispalon. Meaning it's b'dieved to daven shmaina esrei on the top of a fig tree. It's self-explanatory. If you work for somebody, so as much as you want to daven like a mensch, but you have responsibilities. So it's okay to daven on the top of such a tree. But if you don't have any, you don't have to answer to somebody, you're the balabayas, then certainly you have to calm down. The fisha ain't die to me, Shavas Olav, because it's understood that it's not so easy to daven up there. Rav Mari, Rav Mari, brother Bas Shmuel, the Rava. So Rav Mari was the son of Shmuel's daughter, Shmuel's grandson, once asked Rava the following contradiction. Now we're going to our Mishnah. Alma, you see from here, it sounds like you don't need Kavana. And the reason is because it'll be clear in the Gemara that Rav Mari, brother by Shmuel, understood that when the Mishnah says that the Umin says Kriyashma, Beroisha Ilan, Beroisha Nidbach, means he continues working. He doesn't stop working. He continues working. While he's working, he said Kriyashma. So what do you mean? It sounds like you don't need Kavana. If you can say Kriyashma while you're working, clearly you're not going to have proper Kavana. So Kriyashma doesn't need Kavana. So what was his question? Well, we just had the daf a few days ago. Urimini. HaKriyashma tzarech shechavana sliba shenema Shema Yisrael ulanu. What does haskes mean? You should have in kavana. Avkan behaskes. So to hear Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad requires haskes. Either way, ishtik, he was quiet and he didn't say anything. Amalei midi shmi alach baha. So then Rava told Rav Mari, who was Shmuel's grandson, do you have it? Good question. Do you have an answer too? Amalei, yeah, I did. Hachi Amar Rav Cheshes, v'hu shebetela mi melachtem v'koyrim. When the Mishnah says that the umnin akoyrim b'roisha ilon b'roisha nidbak, it doesn't mean that they should say Kriyishma while they're working. Stop working, say Kriyishma, and then resume your work. The point is, you could have kavana because as long as you stop working, it's not going to be a problem. But the Gemara says, "Vatanya, I'll ask you a kasha." Beisul Imrim Oiskin Bimelachton Vikoyrin. Beisul said clearly that you're allowed to say Kriyishma while you're working. So the Gemara, "Habe Perik Kriyishma, Habe Perik Sheni." Beisul was talking about the part of Kriyishma that doesn't need kavana. So we saw already there's many shitas in the Tanaim. What part of Kriyishma needs kavana? Is it the first pasuk? Is it up until Alef Avecha? Is it the Parsha Rishayna? Whatever doesn't need kavana, that's what Beisul was referring to. Whatever needs kavana, then you can't say that part of Kriyishma while you're working. You'd have to stop, and that's it. Tadu Rabbana, Poilum Shal Yoyse Melach Eitz Balabais. Do workers that were working, they're on the job. Current Kriyishma, if it comes time to say Kriyishma, they say Kriyishma. Umevarchin lefanea ulachareh. Meaning, our Mishnah was talking about if Deber Roisha Ilan, Uber Roisha Nidbak. That was a more dramatic case. This Bryce is talking about the very simple halacha. They're not on top of a tree. They're working. They're standing on ground. The point is that they have to stop their work and they have to say Kriyishma. Not only that, Birchas Kriyishma. Va'oichlam piton, they're allowed to take a lunch break. Umevarchin, and when they take their lunch break, they make a bracha lefanel. They make a bracha rishoyna, and they make a bracha achroyna as well. They bench. Meaning, why would you have thought not? Again, they're working for somebody. They're on somebody else's dime. So maybe it's not okay. Maybe you don't have the right to make a bracha now. Not just that, they daven shmein esrei. But if they want to daven for the omen already, that's pushing it. And if they're kaihanim, they're not supposed to do it. So this brisa says, as it relates to shmein esrei, they daven shmein esrei. We looked at a brisa somewhere that says mei ein shmein esrei. They shouldn't say the whole shmein esrei. They should say mei ein shmein esrei. So we've seen this already a few times. Mei ein shmein esrei is what Chazal referred to as tfilas havineinu. It was an abridged version of shmein esrei. The Gemara is going to talk about it in greater detail in the coming daven. But for now, it's a stira. Here we have a brisa that says that if you're working for somebody else, it's time to daven. You daven. Your boss has no right to tell you not to daven. What kind of shmein esrei? You should daven the full shmein esrei. Don't daven for the omid, but daven the full shmein esrei. And here it says only me ain't shmein esrei. I'm Rav Sheshes like Kasha. Our Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, could be the two brises are going according to the two shitas of what shmein esrei is supposed to look like every day. Rabbi Gamliel held what we hold, which is you daven a regular shmein esrei. Rabbi Yeshua's shita is that every person every day is supposed to daven me ain't yud ches. Us according to Rabbi Yeshua, obviously meaning the brisa that says me ain't yud ches is going according to Rabbi Yeshua that holds you always daven me'en yudches. The brisa that says yudches, not me'en yudches, but rather yudches is going according to Rabbi Gamliel that holds you always daven yudches. Nothing special about a worker. It's the two shitos of how you always daven shmein esrei. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua, my ear, you poil, my filuk alad minam. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like this is halacha regarding poil. And the Gemara says, you're right. Eli idividi regam liv like kasha. Two types of workers. Kan ba'oisim bischaron, kan ba'oisim besudasan. One Bryce is talking about somebody that works for somebody else. He's getting paid. He's getting paid by the hour. So if you're getting paid, you're on the clock, so you can't be mafsik. So it's time to daven. Me'en yudches. Don't daven the full shmein esrei. Even Rabbi Gamliel that holds you supposed to daven the full shmein esrei. You don't daven the full shmein esrei. But then there were people that worked for others where they weren't getting paid, but rather they worked for their lunch, literally. They would get fed, and that was what they, I guess these were poor people, they poshut didn't have bread to put in their mouths, so they would barter, they would work, and in exchange for that, they would get food. That type of person who's oisin besudasan, it's more kuladig. That person's allowed to daven a full shmein esrei. As we were about Tanya, this precedence for this distinction in the halachos of a poyel and what he can or cannot be mafsik for, you see already that there's a difference between a poyel that works for money versus a poyel that works for food. A poyel, let me show you, malach, it's balabayas. A poyel that was working for a balabayas, koirin kriyishma, umispal, comes time to say kriyishma, they say kriyishma, comes time to damish monastery, they daven, va'uchlan piton, ve'imavarchan lefana. When it comes time to eat, they're allowed a break for food, but they don't make a bracha rishayna. Rashi says, v'fisha'ena min atayra, because birchas hanenin is only derabanan. And being that it's only midrabanan, so midrabanan, don't do the derabanans. Avu mevarchan la'achreho shtayim. But they do bench, because Birchas HaMazon is deraisa, but two brachas. Now, at first glance, that's a chiddush, because we know benching is made up of four brachas. Now, the first three are deraisa, the fourth one, atoy v'ametiv, that's only midrabanan. But if you're doing benching because it's deraisa, then why is it two? It should be three. So the Brisa explains, Ketzad, bracha rishayni ketikun. The first bracha you do properly. Shnia, the second one, poiseach bebirchas haaretz. You start off noidelacha. V'koyu l'boyne Yerushalayim bebirchas haaretz. So it's some sort of merger between the second and the third brachas. Now, b'medvar mamur says the Brisa, that's ba'oisem b'schar. That's somebody that's getting paid money. Aval oisim besudasan. But if this person is working for his meals, oishayu balabayis meisavimayan, or if the balabayis was with him, then mevarchen ketikuna. Now this halach is not discussing shmein esrei, it's discussing bracha rishayna, bracha achrayna. Our brises were discussing shmein esrei, but the principle is the same. And that is, you see a distinction between someone that's working for scharon versus someone that's working for su'udasan. If you're working for scharon, it's more chamer. So that person would only stop for Me'ein yudches, he would say tfilas avineinu. Additionally, he wouldn't make the bracha rishayna. Even the benching, it would be an abridged version. Instead of the full three brachas, it would only be two brachas. If somebody's working for sudasan, he davens the full shmein esrei, he makes a bracha rishayna, he benches like a bench. Either way, there's precedence from this brisa to this idea. Then the Mishnah said, chasam patem mi kriyishma, a chasam's patem from kriyishma, from the first night until Mitzvah Shabbos. So this next Gemara is a repeat of this exact Gemara that we had in the beginning of the week. Tanu Rabbanon, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, prat, lo'isik b'mitzvah. So we say in Kriyashma, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, uv'lechtecha v'aderech, uv'shachbecha, uv'kumecha. So much of the beginning of Masechtas Brachos deals with the had a darshan b'shachbecha, uv'kumecha. This braisa deals with had a darshan b'shiftecha b'veisecha, uv'lechtecha v'aderech. Says the Gemara, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, prat, lo'isik b'mitzvah. If somebody's oisik b'mitzvah, he's potter from Kriyashma. Uv'lechtecha v'aderech, prat. A chasen is also potter from Kriyashma. Mikan Omru, Hakoine says a besula potter, besa monachayim. So if somebody marries a besula, he's potter. That's what Chazal meant when they said chasen is potter from Kriyashma. Where someone that's koines an almana, someone that marries an almana, is going to be potter. So b'shiftecha b'veisecha, prad loisvik b'mitzvah. This is the makar to oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. When it says uvelechtecha v'aderech, that's coming to teach me that a chasen is also potter. Now, why is a chasen potter? So we'll see in the course of the Gemara. We saw this Gemara already. It's also related to oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. The reason, however, we need a separate line item to tell me that a chasen is potter from Kriyashma, because a chasen is really potter from Kriyashma the whole night, even though he's not being oisik in the be'ilas mitzvah the whole night. What he is he's tarred in the be'ilas mitzvah the whole night. So you would have thought someone that's tarred be'ilas mitzvah, that's also considered oisik b'mitzvah? The answer is yeah. But at the end of the day, they both fall into the same general category. There's a halacha called oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. How do you know that? B'shiftecha b'veisecha uvelechtecha v'aderech. Says the Gemara, my mash, where do you see it in the pasuk? I'm Rapapa. Rapapa said, because it says derech. And ki derech. Ma derech rishos. Somebody's b'lechtecha v'aderech. Where's he going? He's going somewhere probably for his own personal needs. Derech is rishos. But the Gemara says, how do you know that Miloy is kid because of the Dvar Mitzvah? That filiachi. Amir Achmar Alikri. Maybe he's going to the Dvar Mitzvah. How do you know he's going to the Dvar Rishos? The Gemara says, you're right. In K, you know what the drash is? Le mekro beleches. It should have said beleches. My belechtecha. Shema mino beleches didachu de mechayves ha de mitzvahs p'tiris. So it's the belechtecha as opposed to the beleches. Ihochi feit the Gemara. My iri akoinis abasula filo koinis amara nami. What's the difference between a koinis abasula and a koinis amara? And clearly the Gemara is presuming in its question that just like there's a mitzvah to be koinis as a psula, so too there's a mitzvah to be koinis an almana. So frank the Gemara, what's the difference? The Gemara says, hacha tarid, vacha loy tarid. Koinis as a psula is tarid. A koinis an almana is not tarid. The koinis as a psula is tarid because he's worried about the psula. The koinis an almana is not worried. So as a result, there's no reason it should be potter. The Gemara says, tirda, what does tirda have to do with anything? We're talking about oisik b'mitzvah, right? Ibishum tirda, filo tavis finas vayam nami. So if somebody has a bad day, he shouldn't have to have a mairiv that night. Alomo, and we know it's not true. Yeah, you know it's not true. From an extreme example, Alam Amr Rab Abba Bar Zavdo, Amr Rab Avul Chayv Chomitz Amuris Betoyra Chutzmenat Tefillin said that Avul's Pater or his Chayv in all mitzvahs with the exception of Tefillin. Sharei Nema Ben Peer, Shenema Peer Chavoy Shalach. The context again, we went through this, is that Hashem told Yecheskel, your wife's going to die, and whereas ordinarily an Avul would prava velus, you shouldn't prava velus. So all the things that an Avul is not supposed to do, you should do. For example, you should wear tefillin. So what do you see from there? That ordinarily an avos not supposed to wear tefillin, but it's only tefillin. We don't learn from there a mamotzino that an avos potter from tefillin, so too an avos will be potter from all mitzvahs. It's only tefillin. An avos chayvin mitzvahs. That means an avos who's torrid doesn't have the Ptor of mitzvahs. So then why are you telling me that a koinis sabasul is potter as opposed to almana? Because he's torrid, he's not torrid. What's tefillin have to do with anything? An avos who's the most torrid person in the world. He's busy with his tsar, and still the halach is he's chayv in all mitzvahs. So Mara says, no, you didn't understand. Amri hasam tirdid derishus, hacha tirdid the mitzvah. Of course this is a halach in oisik b'mitzvah, patam ben mitzvah. But this person's not physically doing the mitzvah. He's only torrid. So as it relates to someone who's not doing a mitzvah, it's possible if he's torrid, bidvar mitzvah, he should also have a din of an oisik b'mitzvah. The point is, an oisik b'mitzvah, someone who's physically doing a mitzvah, is potter min ha-mitzvah. That's the first halacha. Oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. That's learned out from b'shiftecha b'veisecha. And then uvlechtecha v'aderech is marba. Not only someone that's physically involved in the mitzvah, but someone that's only torrid bidvar mitzvah, not just anyone that's torrid, but even a torrid bidvar mitzvah that's included in the general concept of oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah, he will be potter as well. Nacha mishnah, rochatz, laiva harishoin. So we mentioned that Rabbi Gamliel got married And when he got married, he was Kara Kriya Shema. And the Talmidim came to him and they told him, Limadatanu Rabbeinu Shechasa Patam Kriya Shema. So he told him, I'm not listening to you. You want me to be, I'm not going to be Mevato, Kabbalas, Oil, Malcha Shemayim, Afilu Sha'acha. So the Gemara goes, Me'inyin Le'inyin. Rachat Slaiva Harisha and Shemesa Ishtoi. So Rabbi Gamliel, in the first Mishnah, got married. In this Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel's wife died. And the night that she passed away, Rabbi Gamliel bathed in hot water. Literally, the first night. So again, the Talmidim told him, we don't understand this either. Didn't you teach us an avol is not allowed to bathe in hot water? So he told him, he said, I'm an istinis. And because I'm an istinis, for me it's going to be different. Tosis explains that the reason a person is not allowed to bathe is because bathing is considered an act of pleasure. It's this tainug in bathing. And as a result, a person has to refrain from any act of tainug while he's ba'avelos. What Rabbi Gamliel was saying is that for me, it's not an act of pleasure. This is something I need to do. To the contrary, if I don't bathe, I will be betzar. So this is just simply for me to be able to keep going. For me, it's different, and as a result, it's going to be okay. Says the Gemara, when Rabbi Gamliel's famous Eved, Tavi, died. So Tavi was an Eved Kenani. He was Rabbi Gamliel's Eved Kenani. And he's mentioned throughout Shas as a Talmud Chacham, as a Kasher, as we're going to see. So Rabbi Gamliel's Eved, Tavi, died. Kibel Olav Tanchumen. Rabbi Gamliel sat Shiva. He was mekabel tanchumen. Amalei talmidav. So his talmidim told him, "Limadatanu rabenu she'im mekabel tanchumen alu avodim. Why are you doing this?" Amalei so he told him, "Ain tavi avdi gishar kol avodim kosher haya." Tavi's different. The reason Tavi is different is because he's a kosher. We'll see more about this. Chasson, and writes liquors kriyishma laila rishon kair. If a chasson wants to say kriyishma the first night, he can. Shimon gamliel loymer loykola roitz alite la sashem yitol. Not everybody that wants to is allowed to do it. Zok digimar. My time with Rabbi Gamliel. So the Mishnah began that the night that Rabbi Gamliel's wife passed away, Rabbi Gamliel bathed. Right digimar. Why did Rabbi Gamliel do that? I thought there's halacha that an oval is not allowed to. So what did he say? He said because I'm an istinus. But the Gemara is not comfortable with that answer. Says the Gemara, because even though there's a concept of aninos and avelos maybe being dairaisos, if somebody loses one of his kraivim, so up until the kfura, the avel has a din of an oinein. Once the kfura happens, he goes from being an oinein into an avel. Rashi says that even though there's a discussion whether avelos is dairaisa derabanan, aninos is for sure dairaisa. But aninos, Rabbi Gamliel held, was only dairaisa during the day. Once the night happens, it's not anymore. V'acharisa kiyoim mar. So once the night happens, at that point, there's no aninos deiraisa. Point is, Rabbi Gamliel felt that night already, there was no aninos or avelos mideiraisa. So everything at this point that he's observing is only midrabbana. Ubamokam istinus, like also midrabbana. Being that it was an istinus, he felt the rabbana weren't guys. So if somebody's eved or somebody's shivcha dies, that's one of the halachos of avelos. We don't observe that halacha. There's no birchas aveilim, v'tanchumei aveilim. Tanchumei aveilim is hamokim yinachin eschem. So you don't do that either. Maisa, umesa shivchaseish, Rav Eliezer, sorry, Rav Eliezer's shivcha died. Nichnesu tamidav l'nachmis, tamidav came to console him, to be menachem aval. Kivin shira oisam, when he saw them, olal aliyah, so he went upstairs. V'alu achrav, they started following him. Nichnas lan piloin, so he went into a side room. Nichnesu achrav. Nichnas l'traklin, so then he went into the hallway. The point is they were chasing him. Nichnesu achrav. Amal lehem, he told him, kimadum anish atem nichvim bepoishim. You know, I thought that I'd be able to get you to go away with warm water. Now I see that even if it's yad seledes by yad nichves by, it's chame chame. And even then I can't get you to go away. You're clearly not getting the hint. I understand why you're coming. You're coming to give me nechama. I lost my shivcha, but I don't want to be mekabel your tanchume. Says the Gemara, and he explained to them. He told them, loy kachsha nisi lachem. Rabbi Eliezer, didn't I teach this to you? Avodim ushvachis in oim demalein beshura, vein oim demalein berchas aveilim, v'loy tanchume aveilim. El not oim demalein. So what are you supposed to say? So if somebody loses an eved or a shivcha, so what do you say? You say the same thing that you tell a person if he loses his shar or if he loses his chamar. Hamokim yemalei l'cha chesroincha. So we're all familiar, unfortunately, with Hamakim Yenachim Eschem B'Soy Shar Ve'el Tzim B'Yerushalayim. Here's the other nosach. If somebody loses money, Hamakim Yemali L'cha Chesroi N'cha. Kach Oymer Le'al Avdei V'Shufcha. So you say the same exact thing. Hamakim Yemali L'cha Chesroi N'cha. Tani Yidach Avadim Shvachos Ein Maspidin Oysoy. There's no Hespedim on Avadim Shvachos. Rabbi Yossi Eimer, Rabbi Yossi says, not necessarily. In Eved Kosheru, if this Eved was a Kosher, Oymer Le'al, they say like this. Hoi! Whoa! Ish toiv v'neman v'nenem yegiyei. Amrulay, they told Rabbi Yossi, that's a nice hesped. If this is the hesped that you're going to give for the Eved and the Shivcha, says halavai of Ali Yiddish Kindlech Gizor. Tanu Rabbanon, ein kairin avos elo l'shloisha. Well-known chazal. Ein kairin avos elo l'shloisha. Who's the shloisha? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ein kairin avos elo l'arba. Sorry, Rivka, Rachav, Alei. Avos says, where my time? Why is it that ein kairin avos elo l'shloisha? Ilei, mishub le'adidim iruvin kasi, mishub in kasi non. Because you don't know past that. Meaning, we know for sure that we're from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If you're Jewish, then by definition, you're Bnei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. But you don't know if you're from Reuven or Shimon or Levi or Yehuda. Is that the reason? Ihochi, Imoy, even Kayhanim, by the way, there's questions about Yichos. So, Imoy Snami Lo Yadinon. So then, how do you know if you're from Rach, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? Or at least Rachel and Leah. You don't know if you're Rachel Kasina, Mileya Kasina. Elos, the Gemara says, Adhoch, Chashivi, Tveloi Chashivi. Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov were more Chashiv. And that's why they're called our Avos. And for that same token, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, well, also very chasha, but after that, it's already not on the same level. Tanya idoch avodim u'shvachos in koyren oisam abba ploini v'ima ploinas. So back in the day, Rashi says abba didn't just use to refer to your father, but abba was like Mister or Master or Sir. It was a title of chashivos. So you're not allowed to call an eved or a shivcha abba or ima. Why not? What's the big deal? For yichos reasons, because we're afraid that people are going to think that they have good yichos, which they don't. So there's like a harchako. You want them specifically to be different, so we shouldn't confuse them in our yichos. V'shrabi Gamliel, hayukayir noisem abba ploini v'ima ploinis. Rabbi Gamliel's family is another halacha where you see Rabbi Gamliel didn't conform to the mainstream understanding of certain halachas. So in his family, no, they used to call the slaves abba and the maidservants ima. Faith to Gemara, maisalista, does that make sense? Where I said mishum dechshiv, because they were more chashiv. That means that they were more chashiv. Over there it was different. One last Gemara. Amar Rabbi Lazam, ay dechsiv, kein abba. Avarechecha b'chayoy, b'shimcha esokapoy. Kein avarechecha b'chayoy zu kriya shema. B'shimcha esokapoy zu tvila. So if somebody says kriya shema and he davens, v'im hu oisa kein, all of our kosov oimer, k'may chelev v'odeshen, tiz banavshi, that's the next pasuk. So tremendous brachos for loyoid elishu noichel shnei elamim. He's going to inherit two worlds. So oilam azav, oilam avash, and amar v'sifsei renonois yahalopi. So just two ha'aras, and that is. So we mentioned a little bit of halachos related to avelos. The first one was that Rabbi Gamliel was rochatz laila harisha in shemesa ishta. So the most basic halacha of an avel is that he's not allowed to bathe. He's not allowed to bathe in hot water. Rabbi Gamliel, the night his wife died, the first night, he already bathed in hot water. Amalei Talmidav, his Talmidim told him, he said, Rebbe, how are you doing that? And not just that, you the one who taught us, Limadatanu Rabbeinu, Sha'avel Aser Lirchoitz. Amalei, so he told him, Eni Kishar Bnei Yodam. He says, I'm not a regular person, Istinasani. And we mentioned that Tosfos says, what did he mean? He meant that you're not allowed to bathe when bathing is merely an act of pleasure. But if someone's an Istinas, and this is something that he really, really needs, so it's not a question of, let me do something that I enjoy. It's to the contrary. I'm b'tzar now. I don't want to be in a state of tzar. So in that instance, it's going to be okay. And the Gemara clarified that that's only when Avelos is the Rabbanon. And Rabbi Gamliel held that Aninos already at that night, that Avelos apparently also is only with the Rabbanon. So if it's only the Rabbanon, but Makom Istinis, LeGozer Bei Rabbanon. So I'm going to tell you something interesting. I've heard this many, many times over the years, that the Rogach of a Goyen, the Tzafnes Paneach, when he was an Avel, he learned. He learned during his shiva. So an avil's not allowed to learn Torah because Pekudei Hashem Yesharim, Mesam Chilev. So an avil's not allowed to learn Torah. But the Rogach of a guy, when he sat shiva, he learned Torah. And I've heard different nuschais of, he said he knows he's going to be punished for it, but it's Kedai. Whatever the nuschach I heard, I don't know, it's true or not true, anecdotally. The point is that Azoy Zok developed thing in the Rogach of a guy. So I'm going to tell you something that I just found. And that is in the Sefer Mishmar HaLevi, from Rav Moshe Mordechai Schulzinger, he brings Shamati Mimaron Sar HaTorah Hagoyin Rabbeinu Yecheskel Abramsky. Said he heard this from Yecheskel Abramsky. There's a Yerushalmi in the third parak of Masech Tismay Katan. So the third parak of Masech Tismay Katan is parak Eilu Magalchim. That's where the Gemara talks about all the halachas of Avelos. And it says as follows, Im Hoyo Lo'ut Achar HaTorah Mutar. It's a Mefurash Yerushalmi. If somebody's lohut achar ha-Torah, and he's an avol, so the halacha is he's mutter, he's allowed to learn Torah. So it's a Mefurash Yerushalmi. If someone is, quote-unquote, lohut achar ha-Torah, it's okay. So what does lohut mean? Is if you look, take a look at the Pnei Moshe, he says, if he's nafshei choshka, v'dveka b'Torah, l'shanois tovet, k'goin zeh mutter. If someone is so nafshei choshka about Torah, he can't stop learning for a second, he's allowed to learn Torah. So Yecheskel Abramsky said, why? Because this person enjoys learning so much, so he stelt to this Mishnah. That the Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel bathed when he was an oval. I am not allowed to bathe, so what did he say? Istinasani. Zok toisvis, who cares? Why does that change anything? He says, because the iser is where it's tainuk. If it's an act of pleasure, then it's not okay. But if you're so desperate to bathe, that if you don't bathe, you're going to be betzar, that already you're not going to be mechuyev to do. So he said that if someone's nafshei choshke b'Torah to such a degree, that by him not learning Torah, it's not just that he doesn't have the pleasure of learning Torah, but he's physically going to be betzar, that's not something you're obligated to do. You're not mechuyev to do something that will cause you pain, even b'shas avelos, dosh teit and toisvis. That's what we learn from Rabbi Gamliel. Either way, it's a mefurish Yerushalmi. That's Rabbi Chaska. He didn't shtel to the Ragachava, but obviously this is a very obvious sushal. That's the first aura. The second aura is the Gemara discussed Rabbi Gamliel when he lost his eved tavi. So he sat shiva. He was mekabel tanchumim. Then we had a whole Gemara of, is that okay? The madatanu rabbeinu she'ei mekabel tanchumim alu avadim. So he told him, no, I want you to know, my tavi is different than other avadim. Why? He's a kasha. Now, just to understand this halach a little bit better, we're dealing with avadim kananya, obviously, and eved ivri. Dude, never be a Havamanish, it's a Shiva for, number one. And number two, and Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Yid, he has a family. It's a very different deal. We're talking about an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is a non-Jew. Stating that, an Eved Kanani, the Rambam says, that when he was sold into slavery, he needed Bris Milah. And the purpose of the Bris Milah was to act as a Miktsas Geirus. And Eved Kanani was a Yisrael B'miktsas. This is a very important idea to know because it really is the backdrop to a lot of halachas that we're going to learn over the coming years. And that is, we know an Eved Kanani is chayiv in mitzvahs like a woman. Lo me'isha. And even a lady's chayiv and an Eved Kanani is chayiv. What does that mean? He's a sheketz and she's a woman. She's a bas Yisrael. So why should he be chayiv and what she's chayiv in? Is. Because an Eved Kanani goes through a Geirus. He's a Yisrael b'miktsas. So Lashna Rama Miyad Chazaka. Ki Yisrael b'miktsas as a halbiyid. The point is he's a shtickle of Yisrael. He is a little bit of a yid. Okay. That's what an Eved Kanani is. So Rabbi Gamliel said, ordinarily the halach is, you don't sit shiva if somebody loses his Eved. But Tavi is different. And being that he's an Eved Kosher, Rabbi Gamliel said shiva. Freit the Rajba. It's a Pella. He says, I don't understand. Who cares if Tavi was Kosher? Wasn't doing anything. At the end of the day, when does somebody sit shiva? Lo yaleinu. If he loses one of his kraivim, the im toimar, v'lo yehei elo ben chayrin. Let's say he wasn't just a kosher. He was Rabban Shul Kol b'nei agoyla. Let's say he was the gadol hadar tavi. Who cares? How does that change anything? Mi mekablin tanchumin ala rechoykin? Azoy fek de rajba. It's a bumba kasha. See, he says that I found this kasha in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi asked this question, and I actually couldn't find this kasha in the Yerushalmi. It's not so easy to find. But says the Rajba that the Yerushalmi says, she'talmidei choviv kibnoi, that just like there's a concept that a person can have a Talmud that's choviv kibnoi, and that can impact sitting shiva and hilchas avelos, chen avdei hamishamish kiritzoynoi haya olav kibinai. What he was saying was that he's a kosher. He didn't mean to say that he's a tzaddik. That wasn't the emphasis. The emphasis was that he was avdei hamishamshoy kiritzoynoi, and for him he was oiser ritzoyn adoynoi, and he was very chaviv by him, and because of that chavivos, it was okay for him to sit shiva. Just like there's a concept of avelos and tanchumen between a Rebbe and a Talmud. Why between a Rebbe and a Talmud? Because of this chavivus, this liebschaft, this love that they have for each other. It's in that same vein, there was an idea that a master and an Eved would be able to sit shiva. But the kasha is a bumba kasha. That And his answer is, it's no different than a Rebbe and a Talmud. So just to digress for a few moments, and that is, that it sounds like from the Yerushalmi, that the reason it might make sense for there to be avelos and tanchumen between a Rebbe and a Talmud is if there's a chavivos, so there's a concept of chavivol of kivinai. A chiddush, but chavivol of kivinai that the Rashba and the Yerushalmi seemingly is telling to an Adoin and an Eved, and that's the story with Tavi. But the truth is, it could be that as it relates to a Rebbe and a Talmud with regards to Hilchas Avelos, it could be it's even more pasha. Rav Shloimeh Kluger, in the beginning of Hilchas Eben Ezer, this is in Siman Aleph, so he declares a shayla. So Siman Aleph and Eben Ezer is Hilchas Piryah V'Rivya. Says the Chachma Shloima, Hine nistapakti. B'misha gidol yasam v'yasayma b'toich beisai. If somebody raised a yasam or a yasayma in his house, was he mekayim the mitzvah puruvu, or was he not mekayim the mitzvah puruvu? So we know it's a machlei v'shayim b'sil, what the mitzvah puruvu is. According to Beishamai, two boys. According to Beisil, it has to be a zachar and an akeva. Clears up Shloima Kluger, what happens if someone never had children. He never had a boy, never had a girl. But he raised the Yosem v'yosayim v'teich beisai. Is he Mekayim Puravu or not? What's the Shailo? Kiven the Amru Chazal, Yosem v'yosayim v'teich beisai, Malo olav akosav kilu yaldai, imkein yesh loimar dahavi nama kilu kayim Puravu? Maybe he was Mekayim Puravu. Malo olav akosav kilu yaldai sounds like he's Mekayim the mitzvah. Oi, or maybe, al kolponim enoi doimel of lad mamish. V'loi kayim b'zeh. Or maybe not. Says Rav Shloimeh Kluger, we've spoken this out in our Chavura many times over the years. The aim based medrash below chiddush, as you'll see, and that is that he thinks it's totally in a machloikis between the drisha and the taz. The drisha and the taz have a machloikis every time it says ki ilu in Chazal. So if you do this, it's as if you did that. Sometimes a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. Right? Ki ilu, even have a desire you have also. But anytime you find ki ilu, is it literally as if you did it, or is it not mamish as if you did it? Says the Reb Shloimeh Kluger, the drisha shita is that wherever it says ilu, ein hamukish shava el misha makish loy, v'atas choylik, do shava mamish. Says Reb Shloimeh Kluger, and he says at the end, I'm saying this ledina. That according to the drisha that says ki'ilu is not literally, and of course you're not making the mitzvah purvu, it's just ki'ilu, whatever that means. But according to the Taz, that ki'ilu means literally, says the Shloimeh Kluger, I want to say a chiddush lahalacha, that if somebody's megadol yosoim v'yosoima b'toich beisai ma'ala olav akosav kilu yoldai, he was mekayim the first mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah puruvu amilu asa'aretz. That's what Shloimeh Kluger says in the beginning of Eben Ezer, Siman Aleph. This same chiddush that Shloimeh Kluger says, the Chidah says as well. The Chidah says this in Pesach Inayim, in the 12th parak of Masechtas Ksubas. The context over there is b'shas p'tiras l'shal Rebbe. It's a whole long Agadat Gemara that discusses the final moments of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's life. And one of the things he told his sons was, he zaru b'kvayt imchem. So apparently, Rabbi had another wife who was his son's stepmother. And he told them, he zaru b'kvayt imchem. You should be mechabed, your stepmother. Make sure you give her the proper covet. And in the course of discussing this Gemara, the Chidah says that if this woman raised these boys, I don't know the rest of the story. But if this woman raised these boys, it's pashit that without Rebbe saying Hizaru b'chvayt imchem, they would have had a chiyuv to be mechabeder. You know why? Because kol megadol yosam v'yosayim b'toich beisay ma'alal v'akasav kilu yaldai. And it says in the Torah, kabeder savicha v'asimecha. So it's pashit there would have been a chiyuv. That means ma'alal v'akasav kilu yaldai makes it that there's a father-son, mother-son relationship over here. You mekayim the mitzvah proof. They both were mechaben to the same chiddush. That ma'alu olav akasav kilu yaldai can mean, at least according to the Shita Sataz, that ki'ilu always means literally, it can mean kilu yaldai with real ramifications. So I was thinking, Chazal also say, ben it says Elo told us Moshe Baharan, and then the pasuk says Nadav Aviu Elazav Yisamer. Rashi brings a Chumash, the Gemara Sanhedrin, that says Elo told us Moshe and Aharon Nadav Aviu Elazav Yisamer. Nadav Aviu Elazav Yisamer warrant the told us of Moshe. They were the told us of Aharon. So what do you see from there? Kamalamidus ben Chaveri Torah. That means a Rebbe and a Talmud can have a relationship of sorts that it's literally, it's a father-son relationship. Oh, it's a father-son relationship. If you give him a kind of mitzvah puravu, if there's a chiyuv maybe of kabed asavicha vasimacha, then why shouldn't you have halachas of avelos? Why shouldn't there be halachas of tanchumen? So as it relates to an adin and an evin, I'm not sure. Maybe this is what Yerushalmi means. I'm not sure. But for sure, as it relates to a Rebbe and a Talmud, Yerushalmi seems to be saying, because it was chamaval of kabinoi, l'chur yesh loymar, based on this halacha of mala all of akas of kilu yod. But let's just end with one ha'ara. And that is, we mentioned this machloik is between Beshameh and Bezillah, whether the mitzvah is two boys or the mitzvah is a boy and a girl. We, of course, passing like Bezillah, it has to be a boy and a girl. Parenthetically, just to digress for a moment, and that is that the Avnei Nezer, in his first tshuva in Avnei Nezer, this is the first tshuva in Tshuva's Avnei Nezer, the Shoyal asked Avnei Nezer about a woman who had three boys and no girls, and then the doctors wanted her to drink a koishal ikrin. So this was a primitive version of birth control. The point is, after she drank this koishal ikrin, she wouldn't be able to have children anymore. Her husband wasn't the kind of mitzvah puravu yet. So the question is it okay or is it not okay? Now he had children, but he only had boys, and there were no girls. So the question is, was she allowed to drink this koishal ikrin, or was she not allowed to? So Avnei Nezer wrote a tshuva. At the end of the tshuva, he says like this, Shamati, I heard from my mechutin, Rab Shula Mikutna, Shula Kitna, who said like this, that the Maharit only had boys, he never had girls. Now the Maharit lived in the Sfardish Medinois, where there was no Cherim Darbein or Gershim. So in theory, he could have married another wife. It wouldn't have been a problem, but he didn't do it. And the reason he didn't do it was, even though he was never Mekayim the Mitzvah, Shesomach al Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi has it in the reverse. The Gemara, in Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Samech Beis, says that Beishamai says, a boy and a girl, and two boys, and Beis Hillel says, it's Beis Hillel that says that it's that it has to be a boy and a girl. Yerushalmi has it in Faker, that Beis Shammai holds that it's a boy and a girl. Beis Hillel says it's two boys. So the Marit, the Avnei Nezer says, I never saw this inside, but this is what I heard. His lashon is, Loishaalti be'eza sefer roza, v'ani ein li p'nai l'chapis. He says, I have no time to try to find this, but this is what I heard from my mechitin, klai b'mafim vart. He said, this is what he said, that he heard about the Marit, who only had boys, never had girls, he never took another wife, because he felt, and the Yerushalmi says, not that way. Now, really, it's a very big chiddush, because you paskin like the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. I mean, Yerushalmi, of course, we can go with lahalacha, but not if it's contradicted by a Bavli. But he says, venerally time shall marit. I think it's not just the Yerushalmi. I think it's based on a Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Vayhi bayom kalois Moshe. So Hashem came to Moshe by the snare. He told him, Shal na'alecha mi'am raglecha. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, what he was telling him was to be purished from his wife. And all of a sudden, when this rash, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told, be purished from your wife, the Malach Michal came running into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as they say in Zohar HaKadosh. The Malach Michal came running into Hashem, and he told him, how can you tell Moshe to be purished from his wife? He says, he has to have children. There's a mitzvah. The Heshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harei Kayim Moshe Pruravu. He was Mekayim Pruravu. As I say in Zohar, says Avnei Nezer, he was Mekayim Puravu. He had two boys, Shem Echad Gershon, Shem Echad Eliezer. He didn't have any daughters. Moshe Rabbeinu only had boys, didn't have girls. So what do you mean he was Mekayim Puravu? So he said, Vaistois, the Zohar HaKadosh held, and not just held, but Beruach HaKadosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Paskin in Shamayim, that you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah with Shnei Zecharim. Like the Yerushalmi. So he said, the Marit knew the Zohar, and the Marit was basing it less on the Yerushalmi, says Avnei Nezer, more on the Zohar HaKadosh. Either way, Dvarim Neflam. But what's the Ha'ara? The Ha'ara is that in our Gemara, in Talmud Bavli, Beis Shammai Shita is two boys, and Beis Hillel Shita is a boy and a girl. Yerushalmi, it's Fakert. Zohar HaKadosh, it's Fakert. That's this Chiddush of the Avnei Nezer. Use this Lahalacha. But the point is that the Gemara in Bavli, in Masechtas Yevamos, has it in the reverse. Amalei Beishamai the Beisilel says, the Gemara Beishamai told Beisilel, Mamish the Zohar's Kasha. He says, how could you tell me you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah if all you have is boys? Moshe Rabbeinu only had two boys. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu was Parish Meishtai. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was Parish Meishtai. He was never Mekayim the Mitzvah, Puravu. Azoi hot Beishamai getayna to Beisol. So the Ha'ari is, I don't know if it's a kasha. Because what was Moshe Rabbeinu Shlichus? Moshe Rabbeinu Shlichus was to go become Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Agoyla. To become Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is exhibit A for Kol HaMelamed. It's Ben Chaveri, Torah, Malu, all of our cause of Kilu Yoldai. It's where the Gemara learns it. There's two makaris to this in Shas. One is from Moshe, the other is Vanefesh Asha
also b'char. We learn it from Avraham Avinu. But from Moshe Rabbeinu, we learn Eila told this Moshe, Nadav Aviyu, Elazav Esamar. Moshe Rabbeinu was being Mevatel Peri of Erivya. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to have 600,000 children. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to father a nation. Not just a daughter. He was going to father a nation. So L'chura, why is he being Mevatel Peruvu? Now L'chura, it's totally in the Shaila. If you hold like the Derisha, that Kilu is not literal, like Rosh Shlomo Kluge says at the beginning of Chachma Shlomo, he wasn't going to be behind the Mitzvah Peruvu. But if you go like the Taz, and this is a Mefurish of Chachma Shlomo and Ebenezer Simon Aleph, that it could be that Kolom Agadol Yosef Yisoyim B'teich Beisei Malo Olav HaKosef Kilu Yaldai, then Kolom Lamed Ben Chaveir Torah is also Malo Olav HaKosef Kilu Yaldai. And if it's Kilu Yaldai, it's literal. If it's literal, then L'chura, the Ha'ara is, why are we saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was being Mevatel, the Asakta B'Piri of Erivya, by going to become the father of the nation and to take the Jews out of Egypt? L'chura, by doing that, he was going to be Isaac B'Piri of Erivya, unconventionally, but B'Piri of Erivya nonetheless.